The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hope everybody's doing well. Welcome back to our session, which is called Reclaiming the Narrative. What we're trying to do is a game-changing technique, and that is to get our beliefs in line with Quran and Sunnah. If this can happen, literally the Ummah of the Prophet will become a powerhouse. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to pick up our discussion where we left off, which was taqwa. We were talking about the Quranic concept of taqwa. But before, we'd like to begin with that very beautiful dua, where we ask Allah for guidance. The Imams taught us to say it like this: Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa arin al-haqqa haqqan hatta attabi'ahu. Show me truth to be truth so that I follow it, so that I embrace it. Wa arin al-batil batilan. Show me falsehood to be falsehood hatta ajtanibahu, until I stay away from it. Question: is it possible that a non-Muslim, someone outside of the faith, pick up the Quran and be guided by it? Feel like God is speaking to them? Hear about the warnings in the hereafter, the akhirah, right? There's YouTube videos where you'll find someone who is uninterested in Islam. I got the Quran from a roommate, and I wasn't interested. At this stage, the person didn't even believe in God. Right? Reading the ayat of the Quran. Okay. Is that even possible? Okay, well, question. Who does the Quran guide? If there's someone who truly is looking out for their interest, if I can see this is the trajectory, this is where this is going, I can see what happens if I continue in this way. If there's truly someone who's like that, who's looking out for their interests, not just talking the talk, walking the walk, yes, the Quran will guide this person. The Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse number 2. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ, that book. لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, there is no doubt in it. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it's a source of guidance, لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Not only those who've embraced the faith of Islam, but if there's somebody else who really, if I find out, if God said, if it's really proven to me, if it's true, I won't just jeopardize my hereafter. I'm an intelligent person, a rational person. Okay, now, very beautifully, I want us to look at another one of the ayat of the Quran. Surah 5, verse 100. Fattaqullah, so be wary of God. Fattaqullah. Ya ulil albab. O possessors of intellect. O intelligent people. Rational people. Wise people. Right? Fattaqullah. Have taqwa of Allah. Be wary of God. Ya ulil albab. O intelligent people. La'allakum tuflihun. Maybe you'll be successful. Right? So if someone's intelligent and rational, then yes, the Quran will act at that way. That person, the wise person, is a person of taqwa, whether it comes to dangers and harms in this world or the hereafter, whether it comes to benefits, I'm taking practical steps, right? Person of taqwa. Now, question, because we talked about the idea that aql was something that through which the Rahman was worshipped. Is Islam a religion that says the dunya is najis? Don't push yourself, don't try, don't be excellent, just be average. Is Islam a religion, or does Islam want us to push ourselves to compete with one another? The difference is going to be what's the goal and what's the motivation. Right? But otherwise, Islam wants us to compete. So Islam doesn't want us to sleep, to not push, to not find out what our true potential is. It wants us to do that, but of course we have to do it for Allah and His mercy. Now, what happens? There's another point. This is now in the book, something that the leader just referred to, and I'm going to just kind of bring some of the ayat to our attention. What the leader referred to was this, where he says that you are the best of God's creation. Human beings, each and every one of you, right? We're small in stature and size, but how do we view other human beings? I've said this before. Each one of us is Allah's greatest creation. Now, there are many, there's a Quranic reality, many ahadith. I want to share, there's some verses of the Quran that you're already familiar with. For instance, God says in the Quran that He breathed into you. Nafakhtu fihi, right? We have verses like that. We have verses where Allah says He put the whole universe at your disposal. I just want to mention one of the verses. So this verse, brothers and sisters, is in Surah Sa'd. So again, the idea that we're the best of Allah's creation. What happens is, instead of us competing like others for the dunya, we're going to be competing for something else. Not that we don't compete. We're going to also outdo one another or others in the dunya. But the motivation is going to be different. Okay, now, so what happens is, this is just one verse. So Surah 38 and verse number 75. All right, let's look at the verse of Quran together. God's speaking to Iblis, but He's talking about the station of mankind. God said, Ya Iblis, O Iblis, ma mana'aka, what has prevented you, an tasjuda, from making sajda, prostrating, lima khalaqtu biyadayya, to what I have created with my own two hands. When God's describing the creation of human beings, He says, I made human beings, I fashioned them with my own two hands. Human beings are special. What's stopping you from prostrating for the greatest of all of my creation? Now, if you look at the verse, so He said that the verse started off with the idea that we're running or we're competing or we're rushing to the mercy of Allah. If you've noticed in the verse, we even do that before paradise. Right? So the verse of the Quran was this, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. That's 3:133. Right? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Go to مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, from your Lord, وَجَنَّةٍ. Why do we start with مَغْفِرَةٍ before Jannah? There's a beautiful hadith that we have of the Ahlul Bayt, dua that we have from the Ahlul Bayt, where we learn, the leader says one line over there. He says, forgiveness is more important than anything. Being forgiven is more important than anything. The beautiful line from the hadith is this. It says, وَأَسْأَلُكَ اللَّهُمَّ, O Allah, I ask you, حَاجَتِ, for this haja that I have, أَلَّتِ, if you give it to me, إِنْ أَعْطَيْتَنِيهَا لَمْ يَظُرَّنِي مَا مَنَعْتَنِي. He says that I'm asking you for something that, oh God, if you give me this, whatever else you don't give me, I won't worry about that. That won't harm me. What does he ask for the imam? The best thing on the earth? He says, As'aluka faqaqa raqabati minan nar. That you free my neck from the fire.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir. Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen.
محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.